71 I went through.
That's Woman Davis. We can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm going to mute myself.
They got to get on their bicycle.
I've got 7 o'clock on the nose. We'll bring our meeting to order. This time, Ms. James, would you call the roll of the City Council?
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Samantha Hudson.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much. Everyone, if you will, can you please stand for the invocation. Pastor Boone, come forward, sir. Thank you so much.
Father, we come before you in the precious name of your Son. Inasmuch as you've given these men and these women governance of this great, beautiful city called Fairburn, we also ask that you give them wisdom and knowledge, compassion and strength. Bless them as they move in their daily lives beyond what they do here in this chamber. We ask, Father, that you would be a continued blessing for the south side of the city. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Time we don't have any presentation. Can I entertain a motion to adopt the?
Can you turn the mayor's mic up, or can you get closer? I can't hear you.
I'll get closer. Members of council, can I entertain a motion to adopt the city council agenda as printed?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. That motion carries. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, 30 minutes will be allocated for public comment. Each speaker shall speak. Shall be limited to 3 minutes. However, a speaker may transfer his or her 3 minutes to another speaker. No speaker shall be permitted to speak for more than 6 minutes. Further, in the event if more than 10 speakers, we will go down to 2 minutes. I think we have four. So at this point, we'll stay at the 3 minute interval. Issues raised at this time are generally referred to the city administrator for review. Responses will be provided at a later date. Ms. City Clerk, could you go ahead and call our first speaker?
Lee Watson.
I
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Lee Walton, 43 Green Street. Good evening. I have been here previously within the past few months, kind of on behalf of a group of Fairburn and South Fulton residents concerned about a South Fulton rezoning proposal on Spence Road, large industrial rezoning. I've brought, it is still a live issue, unfortunately, and so we're continuing to organize and pay attention and follow. There's a public meeting that occurs next Monday evening, so I brought some flyers about that. If it's okay with you, I'd like to leave those for anyone here to get information and be aware of that meeting.
Okay.
Related, you will have the opportunity, of course, later tonight on the agenda is discussion about the Fairburn Comprehensive Plan update, and I'll reserve my comments about that for that time.
Yes, sir.
You will see if South Fulton is currently updating their comprehensive plan as well. Through the same process, the city of Fairburn will be given the opportunity to review South Fulton's draft comprehensive plan and comment on it. And I simply want to ask that as you receive that and as you and staff have that opportunity to review, please pay careful attention to what that plan proposes at the borders of Fairburn, just as South Fulton would be expected and appropriate to review Fairburn's plan.
Correct.
For coordination. Intergovernmental coordination is critically important with the way our boundaries are drawn, and this is the key opportunity for those types of discussions to happen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. The next speaker.
Sean Edmondson.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Sean Edmondson. I'm a resident of Fairburn. I live at 5180 Lincoln Drive.
Okay.
And my concern is the utilities. The utility bills over there are extremely high. We just paid a bill of $1,000, and it came back in the very next month, $800. Mm-hmm. Then our lights got turned off because we couldn't afford to pay that. Me and my wife, we work. We don't have a lot of money. We're on a fixed income, and bills just keep coming in the same, higher and higher and higher, and there's nobody even using utilities like that. Like, I don't know what's going on, but that's a big concern. And it's not just me, it's the neighbors as well, because we all talked about it, and everybody's going through the same situation.
Yes, sir. We got your address right. Contact information as well. Okay, you'll be contacted by the city administrator and the user department.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you, sir. Our next speaker.
Ernie Brooks.
Good evening, y'all.
Good evening.
I just have to apologize. First of all, I don't have a disciplined mind, so I may be a little scattered. Please try to follow along with me. And these are just thoughts. Here's an idea. I'm going to call it more carrot, less stick, where we use an incentive with maybe code enforcement officers or the police department where they actually have an incentive of giving out, if the economic department could get with restaurants, say meals. Here's a meal ticket because they've observed something that they're doing that's in their mind, in their interpretation, it needs to be rewarded. So code enforcement police officers deal with a lot of infractions of the law, but when at their discretion, if there was all it possible that we could incentivize officers to implement, here's a reward. I'm stopping you because you did whatever that I think is needs to be rewarded. And it'd be up to the discretion of the taxpayer, the driver, the homeowner, whoever, to accept the meal ticket or not. Another thing I'd like to talk about is years ago I heard this story about two Chinese monks who were traveling. And if you don't know, monks are not allowed to touch the opposite sex or money. And these two monks that were traveling, it had rained a lot, and they came upon a river, and there was a young lady there that needed to cross to get to her home. And the older monk picked the young lady up, put her on his shoulder, and took her across the river. Set her down. She continued on her way. The two monks continued on their way. 3 or 4 miles, the younger monk asked the older monk, "Why did you pick the woman up and carry her across the river?" And he said, "Brother, I just took her across the river. You're still carrying her." And so I'm just wondering, in my mind, there's a lot of baggage that I'm carrying, and there may be some stuff that you might be carrying, which leads me to this point. It's later than you think. Please, let some new blood get up here. Mr. Mayor, you did the right thing by opening up your office to new blood. And people who have been up there, y'all kind of, you know, you kind of might want to, and I know, no elder abuse, or I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you know, I'm saying it might be time to move on because it's later than you think. Go do what you always wanted to do. Go see the Grand Canyon. Go to Europe or Africa or Asia, wherever. Do, because it's later than you think. It's later than you think. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Anastasia Benson.
Ms. Benson, coming up.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening
to everyone in the room. I'll keep it very brief. I just wanted to thank everyone who came out to the planning and zoning meeting. It was beautiful seeing community in action. And for those who came and actually spoke and stood up for the residents who said that we do not want a gas station taking over our area and reducing our property values and bringing about crime. It was so wonderful to see everyone hear our voices and speak as one. And so I wanted to say thank you. I also wanted to give an update to anyone who was at that meeting or watched it online. Even though we were told that we would hear back from the developer, we've yet to hear anything. And so I highly encourage for everyone to still make their voices heard. Get the word out. We are staying vigilant, and we encourage everyone else to do the same. The only other thing that I wanted to talk about was our Fairburn Police Force. They are amazing, and I say it time and time again, and I will shout it from the rooftops. One of the things that they have is what is known as the house watch, so that if you and your family leave your home for a vacation or what have you, you know that your house is guarded and safe. My husband and I went to Chicago for our anniversary, dropped off our kiddos with the grandparents, and it was so nice to see on the Ring camera one of the sergeants just coming through, patrolling the front and the back area, checking through the windows. They know we have Furbies, and just looked out for us. And I thank the city so much and our police force so much for looking out for us. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
That's it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Members of the council, this is a executive privilege. You just reminded me of something I wanted to mention. Members of council and staff and members of the public, we have a member of the planning and zoning member that is hospitalized with a very serious medical condition. And so that actually the night of the hearing, I was actually there at the hospital with him and went there again last night. Ken Williams, he's going to need your prayers. And his condition is that serious. So, again, please keep him lifted up. We're all family in this city when it's all said and done. So please pray for Ken Williams and his wife and his family, the HOA president of Village Green. At this point, I'd like to entertain a motion of approval of the city council meeting. City council meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. City Council, can I just make sure, Ms. James, that I'm doing this accurate? I also need another motion for the City Council budget hearing meeting, correct?
Right.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to make sure I'm accurate. Members of Council, you have before you City Council budget public hearing minutes on August the 25th. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All opposed, motion carries. And so I carry those two items that I've had to prove. Okay. At this point, we want to go to a public hearing, correct?
Yes. Public okay. hearing is a transmittal of the draft comprehensive plan update. It is a request for mayor and council approval to transmit the draft comprehensive plan update and to begin the public review process.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Our team has finally gotten the completed draft of the comprehensive plan. I'll turn the mic over to our consultant team, TSW, who's done a fantastic job of working with the community to get us to this point. This is not the final adoption. This is the transmittal to DCA, and they have a presentation prepared for you.
Okay.
All right. Good evening, Council, and good evening to the members of the community who are out here tonight. So I'm Allison Sinyard. I am the project manager for this effort with TSW. All right. So this should be old hat by now. All right, here we go. So some of my objectives for tonight, I'm going to keep my presentation as brief as I can. But what I want to do is to give everybody an update on the planning process, where we are right now, what's ahead, to inform the community how they can continue to give input, and to also present the plan. Again, I'm going to try to be as succinct as humanly possible. I want to give plenty of time for folks to weigh in on some of the information that I will be presenting tonight. So for those who have not been able to participate in the comprehensive plan, maybe this is the first time you've heard about a comprehensive plan, I do want to just give a quick overview of what this is. So a comprehensive plan, in short, it is a guiding document that outlines how a long-term vision for land development is going to be implemented over time. So emphasis on land development. These plans touch on a lot of different topics, but really at the end of the day, we are focused on how the physical environment around us develops. This plan attempts to answer three big questions. Number one, where we are now, where do we want to go, and most importantly, how do we get there? So this plan is going to take you through all three of these questions. So to give a little bit of an overview of what a comprehensive plan does, it guides future land use and development decisions in Fairburn. So meetings like this, when there are rezonings, future land use map changes, this is where it all begins as the comprehensive plan. This is what guides all of decisions related to development. It also provides policy direction for a lot of other related elements like housing and transportation and infrastructure that have an impact on land development. So the scope of, when we were hired by the city, this is the scope that this is how we understood the scope of what we were going to be taking on. So number one, taking inventory of what the city has accomplished since the last plan was adopted in 2021. So that was number one. We worked with the city staff to compile a list of all of the things the city has done and the things the city has yet to do, but is still very, very interested in doing. The next thing was to update the city's future land use strategy, which I'll talk a little bit more about tonight. One thing we added to our scope was to audit the zoning ordinance, so that way we can make recommendations to align it better with the comprehensive plan recommendations. We're very blessed at TSW to have a team of zoning experts who are they're very gifted at this type of thing. So what they ended up doing was looking at the zoning ordinance, they looked at the comprehensive plan, and they examined ways to not only make the zoning ordinance better, just as a better, ready, easy-to-use document, but also ways that the zoning ordinance could be better aligned with the vision that we are proposing for Fairburn. Our scope also included updating the plan to reflect the results of a lot of the recent planning studies the city has undertaken. So since you last adopted a comprehensive plan, you have undertaken two downtown master plans through the Livable Centers Initiative program sponsored by ARC. You have done a housing study. You've done a parks and recreation master plan, economic strategic plan. So a lot of really great work has been done, and we want to make sure that this comprehensive plan addresses it by hitting the highlights of what those plans recommended. Not most importantly, but what this plan also does is creates a work program and action plan to implement the vision. So we do spend time talking about where we want to go. This is the part where we talk about how do we get there. So we have created a work program and an action plan that talks about exactly how that will happen. But most importantly, I think our biggest component of the scope was to get input from the community on what they want to see for Fairburn's future. You know, I'm not a citizen of Fairburn, so this is not my plan. This is the community's plan. So we made a very conscious effort to try to meet the community where they are at various times, try to have as many meetings as possible, as many touch points as we could with this community, working with a steering committee to get a sense of what does this community want for its future. So to give you an update on the process, this is just a little diagram here. So as you can see, we started in February. We came to a public hearing just like this. We talked about what the comprehensive plan was. We talked about what we were going to do. And now we are here in this review and refine phase. We're kind of wrapping it up now. So this point, we have developed the plan. We have worked with the city staff to make some refinements. We've worked with our steering committee to make some refinements. And we're here now to present this plan to the public and to kick off a public review period. And I'll talk about what the final part of the process looks like at the end of my presentation. So just to let you know, we're here right now. I also want to talk about community engagement because I feel like, again, as I specified earlier, that was a huge component of what we were here to do. So as you can see here on my slides, we had four main meetings that we used to get input. Now, these weren't the only ways we got input from this community, but I did want to highlight these. So we came here at the end of February. We kicked off the process with a kickoff meeting. We had so many people packed into this room here, it got kind of toasty. It was February and it was toasty in here, but we had such a great time talking with this community. We came up with some fun ways to get some initial input. We think it was very successful. Moving into the spring, we had a visioning workshop over at Landmark Christian School, which was a huge success. We had a lot of people come out to that. We got I think what's great is not just that we had a lot of people come out, but we got a lot of really great feedback and very useful feedback that we were able to take back with us to start crafting the plan. We came to your concerts over near the Friday. College. We came to a concert. We had a really great time listening to some great music. But most importantly, we had some boards set there where we had folks come in and talk to us about kind of what they felt like the Fairburn's goals were for the future. So we had a very simple activity plan. Didn't get to talk to as many folks as we had hoped, but I think we also had a lot of folks who were just there for the music. So you know what? It's all good. But yeah, it was a great event. We had a good time. And I think the feedback we were able to get was really meaningful and was very, very helpful. And then closed the process, but we're still not done with public engagement. But our last meeting was in June. We had our draft plan open house. I think that was a day we had a big storm roll through. So again, didn't have as many folks come out as we had hoped, which is understandable. But again, I think we were able to get a lot of good feedback, and I think this meeting really validated that we were moving in the right direction with this plan. I'm a numbers person, and I'm a data nerd, so I love breaking things down in terms of numbers. So I put together this little community engagement by the numbers. So across all of our community meetings, we had over 150 unique participants. So we have people who came to all four meetings. We had some that came to one or just to a couple. But across all four meetings, we had 150 unique participants when we looked at the sign-in sheets. We have a project website. I think this number might be higher now, but at the time we put together this slide, we had over 1,300 project website visits. This is, again, unique visitors. This isn't just visits alone. This is people who came to look at our website. So, again, that's huge. So that was exposure to the plan, if anything. We also had a survey that went out. We had 141 completed surveys. I'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. And I think across the total process, we had over 1,000 total comments, like unique comments about what people wanted to see for their city, which I think was a really great number. So I think this community has a lot to be proud of as far as how much they showed up and told us what they thought. So I do want to talk about the survey results. So we had 141 responses. Of those responses, majority of those folks, they live in Fairburn, and then a number of people, they work in Fairburn, they own property in Fairburn, and a few folks who own a business. So this was one of those, like, you could check as many as applied. So there are folks who live here and work here, live here and own a business. But the majority of people who responded to our survey are Fairburn residents. Part of the survey included a optional demographic questionnaire, which we use to help tailor engagement. It just helps us see who's taking our survey, who's interacting with this plan. Because if we're seeing a lot of folks underrepresented that should not be underrepresented, it helps us tailor our engagement efforts. But we had 57% of respondents who answered these demographic questions. So I've got some statistics listed here. But what I want to point out is that this information only gave us a partial but meaningful snapshot of the people we did hear from. And I think it's important to note that we receive more responses from older residents and homeowners and fewer from younger residents, renters, and Black community members compared to what actually makes up Fairburn. Now, keep in mind that 57% of people who, of 141 people who did the demographic questionnaire, there is potential for response bias. So all that is to say is there, we feel that the majority of the folks who kind of self-identified were those who just feel more invested, more comfortable participating, and those folks are going to be more likely to share personal details about themselves, especially in a very challenging political climate we're in these days. So I will say 141 is still a great number. I think the information we got definitely, is in... Forgive me, words are hard sometimes. I just got back from vacation, words are hard. What we heard basically lines up with what we'd have heard throughout the rest of the process. So again, I always say we didn't learn anything terribly new, but it just validated everything we've heard so far. I do want to point out a couple things we heard from the results. And I think these were the things that are really woven out through the comprehensive plan. So number one, we asked this question, as Fairburn continues to grow, what are the most important priorities? People could select up to three. And so these were the top three that were chosen: enhancing downtown, improving parks, recreation, and trails, and walkability. When people were asked how important they thought some things were for Fairburn's future, the number one response was infrastructure availability. A close second was public safety, and a close third was roadway improvements. So again, this just validates a lot of what we heard throughout the process. But I want to move on to what the needs and the opportunities that we identify that are woven out throughout this plan. So, number one, downtown Fairburn and the areas around it, we felt were the clear locations for directing new residential growth. Being because downtown has the best infrastructure and a higher density of residents is going to be needed if downtown wants to succeed, if they want to get more businesses, if they want more business longevity, they are going to need a critical mass of folks who not only live in or near the downtown, but are able to access it too. The second thing is that the State Route 74 Snowy Road corridor needs a serious redirect, right? We think that there's so much growth happening in this area and is going to continue to happen, but a clear vision is going to be needed to better leverage development interest in this part of Fairburn. The third thing is that industrial uses, while sometimes problematic in their inputs, are here to stay and they are important to this economy. So, you know, we knew coming into this that industrial was going to be a very hot topic, and it was. We heard from a lot of folks saying that they want no more industrial in Fairburn, but in these conversations, folks did tell us, like, we do understand how important this is for our economy. And so there were a few times we had to have car conversations like, well, you know, you can say no to more industrial, but it doesn't stop the communities from around you from also developing industrial, and you're going to have to deal with those impacts anyway. So even if this community did say no to more industrial development, those impacts are still going to be felt here anyway. So there is going to need to be a way, there needs to be a way to live alongside each other. The fourth one is there's a keen desire to protect remaining rural and agricultural character, particularly in the southwestern part of the city. Excuse me, I have my notes here. So what we learned is that these areas are becoming increasingly attractive for new development, mainly because you are running out of a lot of developable big pieces of land. So what you have left is in this part of Fairburn, but there is a desire from the folks who live there, the folks who live around that area, folks who just care about having the city having the option for smaller town rural living. We want to preserve this. So this plan, we felt, was an opportunity to set policies in place to make sure that that rural character is preserved to the greatest extent possible and that that area can develop, but in a way that is in line with what that community feels like they want and they can handle. Number five, roadway congestion is a challenge. There are limited alternatives to driving and growing concerns about safety users for all. So Fairburn residents, you know, one of the things that came out a lot was, you know, we suffer from traffic. We have so many issues with congestion and this and that. And, you know, we live in Metro Atlanta. So this is not surprising to us when we hear this. But what makes this more frustrating is that the city has limited control over what they can do, especially with regional traffic flow, which you do capture through many of your roadways, including the interstate and a few other major roadways. So There are opportunities, we think, to improve local connectivity, expand travel options, and address safety concerns through targeted interventions that protect folks and make driving, walking, biking a more pleasurable experience. And lastly, this is a community that really wants to be involved, which is which warms my heart to hear. This is a community where the residents, they love it. They're eager for a place at the table. So moving forward, we think the city is already doing a really great job with this, but there needs to be a clear commitment to transparent communications and dialogue as things move forward, as this plan is adopted, and as Fairburn sets itself up for success in the future. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the foundations of this plan, particularly the community goals. So as we developed this plan, we looked at these needs and opportunities. We tried to look at them as holistically as possible and say, okay, well, how do we take these things that we have learned? How do we try to break this down into some thematic elements that we can weave throughout this plan? And this is what we came up with. We came up with a series of what we call challenge statements. So these are things that we think the city can challenge itself to do. So they're not really goal statements, but they're kind of a little bit broader than that. Like, these are just very aspirational statements that we think kind of fit with what the city is wanting for its future. So I won't really read all of them, but those challenge statements are having to do with balancing growth, expanding and maintaining connectivity and accessibility, and maintaining and increasing quality of life. And so nested within those challenge statements, we came up with a set of five community goals for each of these. So again, I won't read them, but I will just read kind of the highlights. So for balanced growth, those goals include energizing downtown, building a better Sonoy Road, respecting rural character, targeting strategic industrial growth, and promoting infill development, particularly where there's infrastructure to support it. Thinking about connectivity and accessibility, some of these goals include minimizing impacts of truck traffic, improving traffic flow and safety, investing in walkability, expanding mode options, and improving access to downtown. And then lastly, when we talk about quality of life, we are looking at diversifying housing options, supporting education, embracing a sense of place and community, protecting the environment and all the green space the city has, and communicating, also celebrating, all of the good work the city has done. So I'm going to use the rest of my time to talk about the updated future land use strategy, which is definitely aside from the community work program, this is the meat of the plan. So let's talk about what a future development strategy is. It has two components. So you have the map, and then you have the guidance that goes along with that map. So the map is showing where development should happen, but the guidance is going to tell you how development should happen and why. Cool little images right here. So here's the map that you put together in 2021. I know that legend is really hard to see. I apologize for that. But I try and use some of the same colors. Here's the draft 2025 map. I'm going to not talk too much about how we got here. But what we did do is we tried to... Sorry, I lost my notes. So in our conversations in the beginning we had with council, that we had with Planning and Zoning Commission, that we had with staff and our steering committee, one thing that became really clear to us when we were talking about the future land use strategy or the future development strategy is we want to improve it but not overhaul it. There are things about the strategy you have right now that works really well, but in these conversations it turned out there were also things that didn't work so well. So we felt like our goal here was, again, to improve it, but not totally overhaul it and make it something that's unrecognizable. We also looked at previous plans for insight. So as I mentioned earlier, you've done Parks and Recreation Plan, you have done an Economic Development Plan, you've done a number of downtown plans. So we've tried to look to those as much as we can for to see what were those recommendations are and how could they translate to this new strategy that we're proposing. We also looked at growth. So that's a big one, like talking about growth management, right? So balancing growth. So examining how much growth each area of the city could reasonably accommodate. So reasonably being the key word, right? So one of the ways we did this was looking at zoning. We looked at your infrastructure, both what you have today and what you expect to have in the next 10 to 20 years, like what's in the pipeline, no pun intended. So looking at that, that gave us a clue of, okay, these are some areas of the city that are not likely going to see a lot of growth. Here are areas that will And also looking at where the developable land is too, because there are some areas of your city that are probably not going to develop really much. They're not going to change much in the long term. So those were areas where we're like, okay, we're not going to probably try to shove a lot of growth here because you really can't. But then looking at areas where you have a lot of land that's been undisturbed, you know, thinking about reasonably what is most likely going to be developed, what isn't, and taking our cues from there. We also looked at feedback received not just at the visioning workshop, but also the draft plan open house. So we had a lot of conversations at both of those meetings with folks about how they want to see different areas of the city develop. And so taking that really strongly into consideration, that really drove a lot of this plan. And also lastly, and probably most importantly, we looked at incorporate planning best practices as much as we can. So the planning community, you know, we talk, we have annual conferences, and we all know each other and we all talk. And so from there, we've learned a lot from each other. We've also learned a lot from having worked in other communities. So we've all, so at least me, I have like my little list of best practices that I always try to refer back to when I'm putting together a comprehensive plan. But to the best that we could, we tried to incorporate as many of those best practices as they made sense for Fairburn. So I wanted to show you a little bit about how the future development strategy looks as far as in the plan document. So what we've done is included a description of what that category is. We've included a map to show you where in the city this exists. We have provided policy considerations along with that description, some zoning guidance that just kind of gives y'all something that you can use to decide, does a rezoning match the vision that we have for this particular area of the community. And we've also included some character images. Just again, the images show kind of what the elevation view, and they also show kind of what a plan view or a aerial view of something could look like. So it just gives y'all a little bit more of another, gives y'all a clue of how things could look. All right, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other plan elements in that community work program I mentioned earlier. So, while this plan is a lot about land use, it's not just about land use. So we also made recommendations considering transportation, particularly how it relates to land use, because those two things have a lot in common. You know, you got to, if you, making sure that you have a plan where those recommendations interact and complement each other is really key, and I think we've done that. I'm really proud of our transportation team for all the great work they did and making sure that their recommendations aligned with ours and vice versa. So we have some recommendations about transportation, housing, economic development, broadband, natural and cultural resources, and then we also have one about public relations and communications, which I've never developed before, but that was a really fun one to put together, and I'm really, really proud of what we came up with. So to show you just how it all fits together, so those community goals that we talked about earlier, those really do inform a lot of the strategies embedded within these elements, and then within those elements are a list of actions, which are in the plan. There's a section in each chapter that talks about actions and initiatives that really describes some of what those actions are, what they look like. But all of those come in together to the implementation strategy, which is our community work program. This is what describes how the plan is implemented. So we have, everything's tabular, just to make it very easy to read. But we have the action, a description, if we are able to provide one, the time frame that we expect this could occur, responsible parties and potential partners, estimated costs, potential funding sources, and anything else that we felt was important to note about that specific action. And we organized it by plan element. So everything involving land use and development is going to be in a category. Everything regarding transportation will be in a category, and so on. Overall, this plan identifies 120-plus actions that the city could complete over the next 5 years. I know that sounds really scary, but a lot of the things we've identified are things you're already doing. So that's, you know, kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, you know, we worked with the city to kind of come up with a list of things that you guys were maybe hadn't done yet, but we're still very interested in doing, and also the things that you were currently working on, because we do need to make sure that those are included. So I'm going to talk about next steps. So tonight, council will vote to transmit the draft plan to the Atlanta Regional Commission and the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. So what they're going to do is they're going to, Mr. Walton was mentioning earlier, they're going to send the plan out to GDOT. They're going to send the plan out to the county, to the surrounding jurisdictions around So they have a chance to review and provide comments. ARC will, of course, have some comments, and the state will have some comments as well. Tonight also kicks off the public review process, which is required by state law. However, I will say I think it is a fantastic thing that they do, because I have started including these processes in my non-state mandated plans. But that'll be a 30-day process. That is what's required by the state. I say it will launch tonight, but I mean, I have tomorrow, but from tonight through October 10th, the community will have an opportunity to review the plan and give feedback. We expect DCA to have their comments back to us by Tuesday, October 14th. Those comments are not just going to include theirs, but it's going to be everybody's comments, so GDOT, county, ARC, and the neighboring jurisdictions as well. We expect to have a final plan due to the city by Monday, October 20th. So that gives us several days to take all of the comments and get them addressed and get them all put into the plan, and then we'll be back Monday, October 27th to adopt. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the public plan reviews. I know there's going to be a lot of folks in this room who are very, very interested. So we have a couple options of ways you can give input on the plan. So we have our website, fairburncompplan.com. You can download the plan from our website. We have it set up where we have taken components of the plan, and we've broken them up into chunks. So this is just easier for people to nav. Not only like makes downloading speeds a little bit better, but also allows folks to access the components of the document that matter most to them. So that's all on the website. There is a online survey that is linked to the website that will be available until October 10th. It's a pretty simple survey. It's just one question. It's tell us what you think about the plan and use page numbers if you can. There's also some information if folks want to give us their contact info, just in case we have a follow-up question or maybe want to meet with that person specifically about some comments or some issues that were raised. We have that available as well. So the next option is that the administration building will have some hard copies. So if you are like, you're like me and you're more of a pen and paper kind of person, you can come to the administration building. You can get a hard copy. You can also print it out at home if you download, but for some folks, this might be easier just to go to the administration building, get that hard copy. We'll also have a hard copy of that survey that's online that will be available. Or you can take the online survey if you're comfortable with that as well. But that will also be available through October 10th. So I just want to thank everyone for listening to my presentation, listening to me talk about this plan. We're super excited about how this plan turned out. We really think it really does a good job of describing the community's vision. I think I have a few people I want to thank council, the Planning and Zoning Commission, our steering committee. We have a few folks here tonight from that committee. They were instrumental in helping us, not just helping us develop the recommendations, but hearing what kind of being a soundboard and helping us spread the word about community engagement. So we really, really could not have done it without them. We really couldn't have done it without folks who came to the public meetings as well, people who emailed us and called us and told us things that they wanted to see in the plan. So we are very, very excited about this plan. I do welcome any feedback from the community that is present tonight. If you have questions, you are welcome to email me. That is my email up there. I've also got Denise's email up here as well. I know I just threw a lot of information at this, at the council, at this community. So I would encourage you definitely to go onto fairburncompplan.com, download the plan, read it, and if there are things about the plan you love, tell us. If there are things about the plan you don't love, we want to hear that too. But again, I do want to thank everyone for their continued participation and support in developing this plan.
Okay. At this point, we have the public hearing, correct, Ms. James? Okay. So at this point, members of council, what I'm going to do, I'm going to entertain a motion to actually open the public hearing.
So moved.
There's second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, anyone that wishes to come and speak in support of this plan so far, please come forward.
Good evening again. Lee Walton, 43 Green Street. Absolutely here to speak in support of the plan. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for empowering Ms. Brookins to engage in a robust planning process. It's been very well managed, very well attended, particularly the early meetings. Comments have been received and respected, and a very high-quality document has been produced. So this is a plan I believe that the city can be proud of. The review process over the next month is important, and so I appreciate the encouragement and the opportunity for review. And there's a lot of details in here. I'd be remiss if I didn't have something to say about the courthouse, so of course I will. I did notice in the community work plan, the mention of the courthouse associates it with a broader effort to inventory historic properties in the city and to look for funding and ways to address those historic properties. And it puts a target date of the year 2029 for that effort. So I would like to strongly encourage breaking out the courthouse as its own item in the community work program and focusing more, or at least indicating, consistent with what you're actually doing, a more immediate focus on addressing that building. And then the last thing I'd want to point out is as your review, as staff reviews, consider that, and this is based on my experience, the comprehensive plan, in addition to all the roles that Ms. Sinyard correctly identified, it also can be your friend in court if you find yourself there. I'm not a lawyer, but I've been hired as an expert to assist lawyers helping cities defend themselves against zoning-related lawsuits. And the greatest tool that I've been able to use in those circumstances is good wording in the comprehensive plan and the range of policies and strategies and so forth. So, for example, if a strategy of yours is to protect the integrity of existing neighborhoods from development that might be perceived as incompatible, be sure that you have really good, clear wording, and I'll be looking for that in my review. But that, you don't want to find yourself in court, but if you do, you want your comprehensive plan to be your friend there. Again, thank you very much. I've appreciated being on the steering committee. It's been a great process, and it will be a great plan to serve the city. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else wish to come and speak in support of this plan? Yes, ma'am, come on up.
I'm Vera Ragland, and I, too, was on the steering committee. I want to say that I hope that Fairburn will not allow itself to become a transient city. I'm here speaking especially for the older parts of Fairburn where I really think the character should be emphasized. New development is great. We want economic growth, but we don't want to forget things like the old courthouse or the downtown area or the housing that could be made available for people moving in who cannot afford a new home. I also would like to emphasize that I hope the strategy moving forward will involve more connections with the schools, because in order to build a quality community and have a quality life, you have to have good schools or your property is really not worth anything, and you do become transient in that case. So good job for the presentation tonight. I enjoyed going through the planning process and looking at things in detail, but also considering my age, as we look forward, I'd like to see more young people get involved because they're the ones who move in here taking over these new properties. Mm-hmm. So reach out to our schools more, concentrate on what we offer for our youth through recreation and development, try to build on our businesses downtown so that people will not think that 74 is Fairburn. Thank you.
Any other one wish to speak in support? Yes, ma'am, come on up.
Hi, Anatavia Benson again. I also was on the steering committee, so you're seeing the trend. But I am speaking in favor of it because not just of the work that was done, but for the citizens who actually participated. So you heard a lot of voices actually share how they felt about the city, how they felt that the city should progress. As Ms. Sinyard mentioned, there was a lack of youthful voices, the same thing that Ms. Ragland mentioned as well. And so I encourage that as you review this and hopefully adopt the plan, that there is a place for others to come to the table as we progress through the years. Make sure that that comprehensive plan is visible everywhere, not just online. That's a great start. And it's good that there are hard copies that will be at the admin building. But we have so many real estate agents who come in and survey our city, so maybe there's a way to connect those agents to that comprehensive plan so that as they are bringing new individuals in, they already know where we're hoping to move our city to, and they have a place for input along the way. There's nothing wrong with leaving this comprehensive plan in our high schools, in our middle schools, because parents frequent there as well. So that's another touch point for them to be able to see that plan. And I greatly appreciate that as you all work towards the strategic plan, that comprehensive plan takes precedence as well. Make sure that you always have them together, that you can see the balances. It gives our city and our residents an idea of where we want to go, where we're hoping to go, and as new things come in, making sure that it aligns with that plan in itself. So thank you.
Any other speakers that want to speak in support of the item? Seeing none, is there anyone here that wishes to speak in opposition of this item? This is for opposing. I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Okay, yes, this is to oppose the plan because as a participant, and I appreciate the brief summary of the 304 pages that you want people to go over. And as a participant, I felt like I've seen a dog and pony show before, and I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's sort of like controlled chaos. For the public to be divided up into different teams or segments and given one mission to only speak about instead of to be able to participate in other areas, that it was controlled, and to have an advisory committee that has individuals who may or may not have a conflict of interest. As you know, recently, the community on the side of the track I live on, we call it the cotton sock wearing side, not the silk sock wearing side over here on Rivertown Road and other areas with those big mansions, especially like they're going to put up next to the dump. But on the cotton sock side of the track, people, everyone I know that participated, have a feeling that their voices weren't heard. And in particular, I want to bring out Mr. Sharko, Linda and Tony Sharko. They have been farmers here, and as you know, many places are zoned agriculture, residential. And with changing the zoning with this comp plan and having a document that you can follow to have infill on properties. And, you know, I still got 10 townhouses on my property, y'all, you know. So that's a little bit of the baggage I carry is the 10 townhouses. And, you know, the city administrator in one of these meetings mentioned eminent domain. Now, I think that's for the public good, but I kind of took it personal. However, I'm opposed to the plan because it seems a little skewed toward the power elite, the people with influence. I did not know this was not in the 304 pages I read, but as you may or may not know, the Development Authority of Fairman has a land bank proposal, and they have 25 to 30 properties that they want to acquire. That's all well and good to control the narrative for development. That's all well and good. I can understand that, you know. But to me, the city, municipalities are exempt from code enforcement, and so are our corporate neighbors, as you know. But, you know, if the city of Fairburn can't manage a traffic light at State Route 92 with the State Department of Transportation and 29 and sync it so that more people can go besides five cars at a time, I'm just really concerned about some of the things that have been brought up, and especially with the infill on the powers that be that want to put up three-story townhouses on agricultural residential. I was a little disappointed with the interest in acquiring land and backfilling land that we didn't work and have an intergovernmental agreement with the city of South Fulton. We really need a sidewalk going up to Oakley Industrial. A lot of people are walking there, and as you may or may not know, but the police department can verify this, we had a woman last week, enumerated, going over 100 miles an hour, hit my neighbor's mailbox, hit the pole, the AT&T internet connection pole, and that's why I'm here tonight, because if I wasn't, I'd be watching this on YouTube, but I'm here tonight because I don't have any service. The woman was got out of the car and immediately began to urinate. The police arrived, and the police were involved in an accident, I believe at Bay Street, responding to the accident when they tried to. Anyway, my point is that I know I'm getting a little long-winded and off track, so please forgive me, and I'll let this meeting move on. But the last thing I'll say is it's good to see young people with this type of energy make this presentation. If she was O positive blood type, I'd ask her for a pint. If there's anybody out there that's O positive, please give an old guy a pint of O positive blood. Thank you. Good night.
Anyone else here wish to speak in opposition to this plan? Seeing none, at this time, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries.
Wait, was she... Councilwoman,
I think she delayed.
It was delayed. Davis seconded that motion.
She delayed.
Number. She said aye.
I said aye. Yes. Right. Thank you.
She's in favor.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it was Councilman Heath that seconded.
So Heath actually.
Yeah, I have Councilman Heath, but she said aye after you said those opposed, so I needed to make sure her vote was in favor.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. At this point now, the item is actually being brought to the floor. In this case, members of council, you have before you item number two, transmittal of draft comprehensive plan. Update. Recommendation is for the mayor and city council to approve to transmit the draft comprehensive plan update and to begin the public review process. Well, excuse me. Is there a motion in this case?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so the item is actually now to the floor. Members of council, any members of council have a comment about that? Go ahead, Ms. Hudson.
I want to thank the consultant for taking the time to engage our community. And this couldn't have happened without Denise Brookins. I'm going to be honest. Ms. Brookins, I want to say thank you for listening to our community and also taking some of the feedback about community engagement. Not even having a direct conversation with Ms. Brookins, I know how she moved in organizing the community that she heard me. So I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I want our residents to take notice of what was said tonight about the survey that is online. There's a lot of tension happening in the community. A lot of you all are not at ease about many issues in which I'm sure we will get to talk about tonight. Completing the survey is your input and your participation. I also want to speak to the comments about education, something that I've been advocating for the last past 6 years in this town, to make sure that we are networking with our schools. Fairburn, our literacy rates are low. They're plummeted down. I know. I've been in the classrooms as a certified educator myself in this community teaching our students. There are so many things that we as a city can make an impact with our schools as it relates to building those relationships with our community partners, our school district leaders who are accessible, and the tax rate we are paying in our community, we have to leverage that. These roles on government and you as community, making sure that we are doing our due diligence and you along with us with engaging and bringing those relationships together. This is the gap that I see in our leadership approaches in the community, and I'm glad that our residents see it as well. When we increase the literacy rates in our schools, we will be a huge beacon of light here. Right now, the only thing that is fueling is warehouse development. And so when we have low literacy rates, what jobs do we promote for our community and for our students? When we have low literacy rates, it definitely impacts their ability to move forward, and it impacts us in our economy here. There's a lot of opportunities to get involved to make sure that we are making an impact. Something very, very important happened this year that our seniors didn't even know. And I'm grateful for our legislator, Lydia Glaze, who fought hard to make sure that the seniors in this community would not be overtaxed. And that fight was wedged with the Fulton County School District, who didn't think of us enough to consider or thought that we had had enough. So we are in a crunch, people. Today is not the only day, but every day, Fairburn needs your voices. We are in a key election season. Youth and young minds is so important in leading and including them in the vision of this city. And I want to thank each and every participant, our residents who came out in numbers for that particular comprehensive, to our administrators who work with the staff to coordinate this, thank you. Because this comprehensive plan, I want to say it very clearly, this plan that we got in place now, this is it, Fairburn. We got to get it right. So if that means you need to remove us, whatever is in the way, it's got to go. Fairburn's got to grow. And we need everybody on board for this to happen. We can all agree sometimes, and we may agree to disagree. But tonight, I want you all to hear me clearly. We are at a break of a breakthrough. And don't stop pushing until every taxpayer gets your dollar worth from this government. I yield.
Okay. Any other members of council? Ms. Jones, go ahead.
Yes. I, too, want to thank Ms. Senyard and Ms. Brookins and the staff for the excellent work done on the comprehensive plan. And a huge, huge shout-out to the community involvement. We know when the community is involved, we hear your voices and we see what it is that you want, and it's reflected in the plan. So I agree with Councilwoman Hudson that your participation is key to all of this. I also want to say that we must keep in mind that fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you look at it, Fairburn is landlocked, meaning there is no more land that we can acquire from anywhere. The land that was available is now the city of South Fulton. So we are surrounded by that city, what it does, and the impact that what they do will have on us. We will try very hard to have a conversation with them to help them to see the impact that some of their decisions are having or may have on us. But whether we are successful or not really will depend on all of us being engaged and letting our voices be heard. And sometimes we have to give up some things in order to make that happen. I don't know what that is or is going to be, but it will be about creating a win-win, what is good for us and what is good for the city of South Fulton, and also Palmetto to the south and Union City to the right. So we do have to be very, very smart about what we do within the land that's available to us, and we welcome those ideas. That also requires that we have to infill with the land that we have. Now, we have space upward that is available to us, and so we need to start thinking about what does that look like? How do we envision Fairburn being more than one story or four stories for that matter? I don't know the answer to that, but we've got to start having that conversation and envision what that looks like, because that's all we have available to us to make that happen. I ask all of you, during this public input period, please provide additional comments about walkability, because there's some disagreement about what that might mean and how that conflicts with the use of our cars and where we park our cars. We need to think about that as well. And we also need to think about the development of downtown. Because I agree, a lot of people think Highway 74 is our downtown, but it is not. And so we have a lot of work to do, what is designated our real downtown. But we need input from all of you. We need creativity, and we need us all thinking outside of the box in order to make that happen. Again, I want to repeat and reiterate, we are landlocked. We cannot acquire any more land anywhere else. South Fulton said, no, we're not giving you anything, because we've asked and we've tried. So given that, that's our basis, that's our foundation, then let's figure out what we can do with what it is that we have that's available to us. And so, again, I want to say thank all of you for the participation, but it's not over. We need you to come back to the table and help us redefine or more clearly define some of the terminology that has been brought forth to us. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Okay, and I'll just mention, ladies and gentlemen, this is, please excuse me, I want to thank the vendor. I really want to thank the staff and every resident that was willing to serve on the committee. That was very, in this case, we went through this a phase in my first administration with the Sizemore Group, and I think because it was such a shell shock, and I don't know the word to use, it was such a shell shock citywide, wasn't able to get the level of participation that we got this time around, because in this case, I was coming in with men and women that was in leadership role that was going totally different than the city of Fairburn had ever had to enter. Engage in, and so again, we were able to get on first base with the Sizemore Group, but we've actually, in this case, been able to really make substantial progress. One thing, too, I want to mention, too, Ms. Jones was talking about we're landlocked, and I won't get into it, but two legislative sessions ago, it got real heated at the Capitol. Matter of fact, the mayor, a friend of mine, the Mayor Stonecrest, actually was leading a charge about a fight of what you call land takeover, and so from, she won it for a lot of us. I'm going to leave it at that. And so it's not that the city of Fairburn hasn't been able to try to acquire other land, but in this case right now, you have to deal with the cars you deal with. And so in this case, we're having to look at other means as it relates to bringing in commerce, ensuring addressing, in this case, the downtown area, people that are owning lots, four and five of them in this case, that have chosen not to develop it for whatever reason. And so all that's going to have to be addressed starting next year, because, again, that's a hindrance to our development. I want to thank, it was mentioned about Ms. Brookins, I believe, or someone that mentioned about the Development Authority, a thing that I'm very happy about as I sat through the last Development Authority meeting that talked about the acquisition of different properties and areas of this city. That's a major step, ladies and gentlemen, in our government, because, again, having appointed two Development Authorities with two different terms, this has got to be one of the most aggressive business-minded Development Authorities, probably in South Fulton. And so, right now we've got the right team members, and we need your input to ensure that Fairburn looks the way you want it to look in the next 5 to 8 years. So, again, thanks every resident that's participating. Thank you. Thank the vendor, again, for the different avenues that you went to, even coming to Third Friday while folks trying to listen to music. And so I want to just say thank you, because, again, we would try every avenue. Let me thank the members of council as well. We had a great conversation about this during our city council retreat, a great information session. So let me just thank our members of council that played a major role, as well as all our residents in this case that did a great job of giving us your ideas. So with that being said, thank you at this point.
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead. I apologize. I forgot you were. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay.
You got a comment? Go ahead.
Yes. I am so proud and impressed of the comprehensive plan, the process, extremely impressed with our community, with our citizens of Fairburn, for your input, for your commitment. I don't want to duplicate everything that Councilwoman Hudson has said. I'm in totally agreement with our community and how you have showed up and showed out in reference to this comprehensive plan. Because when everything hits the table, the city, the citizens of this city has power. And you exhibited that with your concern and your commitment in getting this comprehensive plan done, along with our staff, along with Ms. Brookins. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of work. I actually went through the whole 300 and some pages and was just so impressed with it. I'm also in agreement with Ms. Raglan in reference to our schools and how we have to tie our schools in and get our schools up, and we participate in it with our schools, with everybody participating with our schools. I know the city does a great job with that, the reading program there at Campbell. I'm just so excited about this. And there's a saying that says you plan your work and then you work your plan. So it's not something that's going to sit on the shelf. It is something that speaks well for the city of Fairburn, and I'm extremely proud of the results of it. Thank you.
Right. And one last comment in this case, I want to thank the mayor. I want to thank our city administration staff, Ms. Chris, as well as Tony Phillips, because some great relationships that I guess yourself as well as myself between ARC and DCA. Great relationships with those agencies in the state of Georgia, period. And so we take that for granted, but in this case, the great relationships is why we've been able to make a lot of substantial and overcome a lot of hurdles as it relates to what Ms. Brookins has actually been able to do. So again, with that being said, thank you so much. There was a counselor in this case. I'm sorry, did you hear something? I'm sorry. Okay, I have an item on the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. That motion carries.
The next item is the adoption of the 2025-2026 fiscal year millage rate. It is a request for mayor and council approval of a resolution to adopt a general obligation bond indebtedness rate and a millage rate for the city of Fairburn for 2025-2026.
Okay. Members of council. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. I'm going to let you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
I like to state that the budget numbers have remained the same. Nothing has changed about the budget as presented last time. And there's the summary of the budget.
This is the millage rate?
Millage rate, item number 3.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Looks like I'm way ahead of myself. The millage rate remains the same as last year's millage rate at 8.10, and that wasn't changed as well.
Okay. All right. Members of Council, I'm going to bring this item to the floor. Yeah, before you, the approval of the 2025-26 fiscal year millage rate at 8.10. Is there a motion?
So moved, Portis Jones.
Mm-hmm. Second.
It was actually second by Mr. Heath. Any comments, any other comments by council? Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I want to again thank our administrator, Mr. Phillips, our deputy administrator, Ms. Chris, and our finance team and all of the department heads and the yeoman's job that all of you did to prepare the fiscal year 25-26 budget. The hearings were extensive. It was a lot of information was provided. You answered a lot of questions for us to help us, you know, understand what it is that we're doing, what we have done, and how we can continue to grow and to implement the various programs that we have put in place while also maintaining the same level millage rate. And so I want to say thank you and glad to know that our millage rate has not increased and that it has been the same since 2021. And we're able to accomplish that feat due to the various the changes, how we shift the projects, the grant dollars that we go after, the collaborations that we have with the various partners in getting a lot of the work done here in the city of Fairburn. So I just want to say thank you to the staff and just to let the citizens know that all of us work very hard to identify resources that are available to this city at every level of government to bring those dollars here so that we can continue to grow and implement the programs that you say you want. Because everything in the comprehensive plan and in all of the various other plans, they all cost money. And so we have to find the money somewhere. But we've been very successful in leveraging our tax dollars that we have with dollars that are available to municipalities throughout the country. And I just want to thank the staff for helping us to bring those dollars forth and the ideas that have come from the this body. Former Councilman Whitmore, the ideas that he has brought forth as well in terms of finding other resources and us leveraging the dollars. And that's why we can maintain the millage rate. We don't control the values of the property. That is the economy, and that is, you know, those numbers have been given to us by the tax assessor. But we work within those numbers, and again, when we establish our budget, we really think creatively about how we can maintain our same millage rate as well as find other dollars to leverage the property tax dollars that we have. So thank you again, staff, for that, for the effort.
Any other members of council? Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Noting that we are in a good space with not raising the millage rate, where are we with our fund balance, our reserves? Are we back at our regular amount that's being contributed?
Councilman, the answer to that is yes. We're back at the
council. And for council, the public, can we tell them the amount that we are sending into reserves?
The approved fund balance policy by council is at 35% currently.
Okay, so 35% residents of your tax dollar is going to reserve, and so we didn't have to go and raise the millage rate again. So, and also thank you to former Councilman Whitmore, because it was really his idea to make sure that we leveraged this and not have any more financial impact on the residents last year, because God knows they're still taking hits even today. So that's all I really had to say to the residents. There's no millage rate increase. We still have more work to do.
Okay. And I just wanted members of council, and just as a point of clarity, actually, it was explicit. Me and Mr. Whitmore had a conversation after me and the city administrator and made it clear what we did not want to do. And I apologize. I can't remember the House bill, Tony, that 581. And that was at that. I realized the meeting with all the mayors downtown at Fulton County that what House Bill 591 was going to
81
is going to do to all the cities and counties in all 159. And so that conversation we had intense because I was just that determined. Actually, we were one of the few cities, believe it or not, that actually was in fiscal responsible state, a state of being where it basically did not have the kind of impact it should have had. Several counties, if you've been watching the Board of Commissioners at Fulton County that I sit through every 2 weeks, it's been a fight. I'm gonna leave it at that to keep it clean. Okay. And so they're not the only county that's having a real battle right now with the millage rate because of the unforeseen impact of this one particular House bill that got unanimous 100%. Every member at the state of Georgia voted for it. So that's again with us basically in this case being responsible, fiscally responsible. I have to give every member of this body credit for that when we decided to do this because it took a village really to come up and to get that bill, to get this portion passed. So with that being said,
Mayor, may I?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
To add to that, Mayor, so it was three years ago that the then finance director came to this body and said, we really do need to increase the fund balance percentage rate. And for those who don't know, fund balance, which is a government term, but it's equivalent to a savings account or a reserve account, if you will. And the fact that the finance director came to us and said, we really do need to increase that percentage so that we have enough dollars in reserve to handle things for a rainy day. And that has proven itself invaluable twice over in the 3 years. And so I just want to say, again, thanks to this body for approving that increase and also to the former finance director for bringing that to our attention as a best practice. Because, those dollars, we've used those reserve funds to last year to not increase the millage rate whatsoever. We reduced the fund balance percentage, and we immediately raised it back to the 35% because we wanted to ensure that we have enough dollars in reserve because it was at that point that the discussions of House Bill 581 were on the horizon. And it was pretty evident that that was going to pass. And so, again, thanks to the staff, thanks to this body, and the previous elected officials who have served in this capacity for having the foresight and the willingness to ensure that we set aside enough dollars so that we have an adequate rainy day fund. And we will continue being fiscally responsible in that arena so that we can continue to hopefully not have to increase the millage rate in the near future. So thank you.
And just for clarification, too, I just want to thank Councilmember Pat Palin, who was here when it happened, as well as Councilmember Whitmore, that was actually part of that major decision that this entire body made as it relates to the fund balance savings. So mm-hmm. Just want to give honor where honor's due. So with that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Mr. Mayor, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't approve that motion because he said the 810, which was the millage rate.
Millage rate.
You've got to add the GO bond in there.
GO bond.
Okay.
There was a GO bond that was general obligation bond that was approved last year, and that amount rolled over. That was 1.46. It rolled over. It should be added to the 8.10 to make it 9.56. That was what was approved and sent to Fulton County last year.
Gotcha. So I need to, I'm just going to do another motion to approve item number 3 at 9.56. Is there, in this case, can I get a members of council, yeah, before you, the adoption of the 2025-26 millage rate, at it'll be at 9.56. Is there a motion?
So moved.
There's second.
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 Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you. Next is adoption of the 2025-2026 fiscal year budget.
The budget, like I stated earlier, has not changed. The numbers are the same as presented last time, council met. And the total budget is about 83 million combined. The general fund and enterprise fund combined. There's a summary of the budget in one of the pages attached. There hasn't been any change since the last time council met.
Okay. Members of council, you have before you the adoption of the 2025-26 fiscal budget that was presented. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and proper set. Any questions or comments? Go ahead, Ms. Esser.
Yes. Budget. So I want to highlight the good things that about this budget that I'm happy about, and that is the fact of the increased utility staff. But I am still concerned about knowing what approved projects for infrastructure upgrades for utilities that this budget reflects. It is unclear to me how we're going to use. Let me just say this. We have so many issues with our utilities right now, and I feel the burden from the constituents because I just got a $500 bill after zeroing out at 500, and the bills are estimated. So this is what I need to know. I need to know who conducted the last rate analysis. I need the name of the firm. I want to know the methodology that they used, the study date, and the recommended rate levels, and what was proposed during that time, meaning there are three levels in which you can consider. It's low, medium, and high. And to date, this council did not receive that report. I don't remember seeing that. And so this $85 million budget, it really is the highest budget that Fairburn has ever had. Now, one will say Fairburn is growing, but the most important thing to understand about growth is measurable, which means when we assign a dollar amount to the taxpayers, we should be able to justify that, and our budget lacks that. We don't have efficiency in performance management. How are we rating performance across the board? That's a problem. And so the citizens deserve better. This seems more like a transfer of wealth from the hardworking families to a top-heavy city hall. Higher housing assessments, increased utility rates, higher taxes, and no real recycling program in place. Citizens has lost more, and they're paying more. That's our reality. At the same time, salaries at the top keep growing. And yet there are no benchmarks in place to measure success. This means residents are left with higher bills and fewer services and no accountability. We deserve better. Before this budget is passed, and I know it's going to be passed tonight, we must ask the hard questions because, once again, we are at a crossroad in our city, and how we grow is going to impact the citizens' wallet. I want to make sure that our residents understand that the same energy that was given last week when there's a threat of their gas station and liquor store, give that same energy about an $85 million budget that really has no justifiable metrics in place. And so I can give all the accolades to our staff for the work that they do. I can give accolades for a lot of things. But what I can't give is my vote to a budget that don't have the basics. It's the basics. And for the main part, all I have been asking for this 2 years is let's slow the pace down, let's look at the fine print, and let's make sure we are making the right decisions. $150,000 for Third Friday concerts. No evidence of sponsorship. It is 100% paid for out of taxpayer money. We have to do better. I'll yield.
Ms. Chris, did you have something you want to add?
Can I say something quickly? The budget is $83.4 million. The budget for 2025-2026 fiscal year is $83.5 million.
Sorry, I'm off. 83, not 85. Nearly.
83.5.
Okay, 83.
But last year's budget, compared to last year's budget, that was 90.2 million. Mm-hmm. So this is not the highest budget.
I stand to be corrected. It's still high for Fairburn. We have top-heavy salaries, and we're not getting no work done on the ground. Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. This is Chris.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. Thank you, Councilman Hudson, for your notes. I will defer to the City Administrator in reference to the rate analysis that was completed. I know that ECG was involved, and I believe MEAG was involved in that as well. In reference to your comments regarding performance management, the human resources budget for FY25 and FY26 includes a performance management tool that will be rolled out in PACOM. I would encourage those to go look online at the budget presentations that was held August 6th and August 7th. I know that I remember that we were here pretty late, and so the departments went detailed in their budgets as far as what was going to be rolled out. In reference to utilities, I do know that some of the projects included upgrading the water main lines down Roosevelt Highway, Highway 29, to increase the number of hydrants as well in the area to increase our fire safety protection, as well as the underground utility work that needs to take place around the city. In reference to the Third Friday concerts, yes, you are correct. Some of that is used in the general fund budget, but I will also inform our residents that we use the hotel motel taxes, which is the 3% that's currently collected. I know council voted and it did pass the General Assembly to increase that percentage to 8%. And so those funds are utilized to attract tourism to our city. And so I just wanted to provide that information, and we can provide you with additional details as well.
Yeah, the member council has a
Ms. Hudson, I just wanted to, and I can provide you with an email post-meeting. Electric Cities of Georgia has conducted the rate study that was approved by council in December of 23. They provide services for all 52 cities that are utility cities in the state of Georgia, and their methodology is based on practice, best practices working with all 52 of those cities. They came and actually presented the rate study to council. Prior to council considering that and then approving it for the rate study. So I'll make sure I send that to you, and you can be able to go through that in detail, but it was conducted by Electric Cities of Georgia.
I want to go back. So I'm glad. Well, let me just say this. Whew. We cannot continue to rely on taxpayer money for these events. It's not fair. Even with the hotel motel tax, increasing tourism is not about concerts. And we have so many complaints coming from the residents that live in that community about the noise. And I don't feel comfortable making residents feel uncomfortable in their private space. Their home is their sanctuary. And so there needs to be more effort to seek corporate sponsorships. We have in our city corporations producing over $400 million a year in their revenue in our city. And we need to push into their wallet a little bit and build those relationships so we can get the biggest bang for our residents if we're going to have these concerts. And I do remember that our assistant administrator gave an idea about moving moving it to Duncan Park. She was all in my dreams. I've been having that for years. That works for us. But, you know, overall, to the staff, it's not personal. No pun intended against you all. You all know what it is that I stand for when it comes to the taxpayer dollar, and I want to see better. I highlighted the good things about utilities, and I think that we're going to move in a good direction. However, to date, we need to know the solid amount of money in this budget and every project that we're going to embark on to upgrade our utilities. We got to get this right. Got to. Residents' bills going $1,000, $700. Something in the milk isn't clean here. I should not continuously get $700 bills every month. And I'm a councilwoman sitting on this council, and I'm telling you, something in the milk is not clean here. And we need to get to the bottom of this. Estimated bills are guesstimated bills. We had a meter reading issue before. How do we know that we are not continuously experiencing that? There's been no in-depth audit to look at it. And customers continue to raise issue that when they come to the utility department, really in a nice way, they're still not getting any answers. So we have to concentrate our focus here. I'm very concerned about the calls I'm getting from seniors who can't afford these utility bills. I want to know what we can do different. What would it have looked like if the $500,000 from the ARPA money that was slated for utility assistance, what would that have looked like if the entire funds would have been used in utilities to kind of give a cushion? I know we did utility assistance. It didn't work. ARPA. Today, I have not seen not one ARPA report, and I have been asking for it for 2 years. How was ARPA used? Where are the invoices, and what were the approved projects? I've been asking for 2 years. This federal report left this city, and I never even saw what was reported. It is not right, and this council cannot continue to not ask the questions or to look at the financial records that we will be held liable for by the federal government. Is it that hard to ask for the report? Why am I not getting it? I want to answer tonight.
You get an answer.
I want to answer right now. Why haven't this council received a report for the federal funds over $6 million? Why don't have it?
You'll get it.
I want to answer tonight.
That's my answer. You'll get it.
I'm talking to the administrators. According to Georgia law, we are apprised to that information.
Yes, ma'am, you are.
As required by federal law, every city that received ARPA funds had federal reporting obligations. To your point that you made just a moment ago, FEBRA met every one of those reporting obligations before they were due. Additionally, I have sent multiple emails to council members detailing ARPA expenditures. Additionally, the plan for ARPA spending was approved by the sitting city council at the time. And so plan was approved by council, reports were sent to council, all federal reporting guidelines were met in advance.
The reports I received, correction, were subjective reports that were created by you all. I asked for invoices, and I didn't have that. If we got contractors working and they're being paid with ARPA money, it should not be hard to provide that information. I yield.
Thank you so much. Any other members of council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
That motion carries. Thank you so much.
The next item is the Chick-fil-A final plat. It is a request for Mayor and Council approval of the final plat for the Chick-fil-A development located at 8032 Sonoya Road.
Hello again. The item before you is a final plat
course, Chick-fil-A has been built. They received their CO.